Astonishing Legends Network.
Disclaimer. This episode includes the usual amount of adult language and graphic discussions you've come to expect around here. But in the event it becomes an unusual amount, expect another call from me.
You can't take a week off, not when the people need content. So it's time to fill the trough with something halfway decent. That only sort of rhymed, which is about halfway to decent. So we're doing fine. And you're doing fine. And now it's time for a bonus episode, an unnamed new kind of show, featuring the hosts you know. And it starts right now. And it starts right now.
Hey everybody, welcome back to New Fear Unlocked with Chris and Ed on video.
Fuck, man. Different video every episode.
Different video every episode. We're figuring things out. This, I think, is our favorite setup so far.
Yeah, we'll find out.
We're settling into a pattern that you'll see repeated so that we can bring you even more video content.
The only thing that's not repeated is, also not repeated, I guess I should say, is like the type. We have three different, we now have three cameras.
Yeah.
But they're all different types and shooting at different everything. Yeah. So every angle is going to look insane.
It's a mixed media project.
Yeah, it is.
Speaking of putting it up on the wall.
Mixed media.
Speaking of mixed media, we got in the mix with these. It's hot in here.
It's so hot.
A fan sent us these neck coolers
that you put in the freezer
and then you put on your neck.
And I don't know if it should touch your neck directly because it came from fucking Wuhan and half the package is like written in broken English.
Well, I don't know. I mean, it feels, whew.
Is it too hot? Is it hurt?
No.
Hold on. I'm going to try it.
It feels great.
I'm told it's supposed to help with the heat. Oh my God. It's so fucking cold.
It feels great.
We look insane, I bet.
I'm going to wear this around everywhere.
Okay. Well, thank you for this. It apparently works, or we're getting some sort of irreversible frostbite.
Skin damage.
Yeah.
We're just going to have a permanent discoloration.
Yeah. Jeez Louise.
Well, guys, this week
will be our last because our heads are going to burn off.
like a wart.
Yeah, holy it shit, just, dude. We're getting lanced.
We are not here this week to talk about scary cold things. Mm-hmm, we are here this week to discuss three instances of a real life horror story.
Okay. We might again be living in that.
Now, we're not living this particular kind of horror story, I don't think.
I don't know. I'm told you the instructions were hard to read. The warnings were even harder to read.
There's a reason this episode is called probably something like Monster or Monsters Under the Bed.
Oh, okay.
Because we are talking three stories of people who discovered a monster under their bed.
Fuck,
and this is inspired by this first article that I found a few months ago. This is from 2025. The headline that caught my eye was, authorities say a babysitter checked under the bed for monsters and found someone.
Oh, shit.
So just about the scariest thing that can happen to a person outside of a horror movie.
Outside of actually finding a monster. Well, this person might be monstrous. I don't know.
The myth of a boogeyman hiding under the bed came true for one Kansas family this week after a child's complaint led to a man's arrest.
Fuck.
How often does that happen?
Almost never.
The Barton County Sheriff's Office said in a statement that it responded to reports of a disturbance at a house outside the city of Great Bend on Monday, which is also what this guy did to fit under the bed.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't seen his body.
The unnamed babysitter told authorities that she was getting the kids ready for bed when one complained about a, quote, monster under their bed. Her efforts to reassure them otherwise didn't quite go as planned. When the victim, quote, attempted to show the child there was nothing under the bed, she came face to face with a male suspect who was hiding there, the sheriff's office statement said.
You know, he was in his head being like, please don't tell him, please don't look down here, please don't believe that kid, fuck that kid.
An altercation ensued with the babysitter and one child was knocked over in the struggle.
I mean, I will say I'm not trained militant person. Like, I don't know fighting or anything. I have to imagine prone under a bed It's not the high ground.
No, it's not. You don't have the advantage.
You, have, you can
spot.
Grab an ankle. I mean,
you
maybe.
Have you have the advantage of surprise.
You can cut an Achilles like in a horror movie, yep, but that's yeah. all you can do.
And but yeah, if you're discovered under there, it's just as bad if you're the victim in the horror movie hiding under the bed and the killer finds you as if you're. It's just as bad to be that as the creep under this bed, in terms of how well you're going to wriggle out of this situation.
Yeah, well, the thing is that the killer has a goal, mm-hmm. and so that's like a grab you by the wrist, slide you out, you're yeah. with the killer now. I wonder if this happened to me, if I'm the babysitter, mm-hmm. I'm not grabbing by the wrists. I'm just like, you yeah, got nowhere to go, you? I called the cops, and if you come out, I'm going to hit you with a frying pan. If you go out that side, I'm going to hit you with a frying pan. If you come out this side, I'm going to hit you. Well, in my house, I would just shoot you. But I'm saying if I'm this person, if I only had frying pans, it's like, yeah, you're fucked. And if you're in my house for real, then you're just looking at the Smith & Wesson, and it was like, get out from under the bed. I fucking dare you. And so it's like such a shit position to be in.
I guess, yeah, the altercation here that ensued probably was this guy being like, oh
I'm
shit.
I'm so sorry.
Oh, God, I'm so sorry.
I thought this was my house.
Trying to get out from under the bed yeah. and just kicking him back under the bed.
Just hitting him in the head.
The suspect is a 27-year-old man who, quote, once lived at the residence.
That's what he claimed.
The statement says, but who was under, quote, protection from abuse order that required him to stay away from the property. NPR, who published this article, is not publishing his name because whether
or any more articles. I think they lost some funding yeah. recently.
They're never going to, unfortunately, they're not going to be able to come back around to update us on this.
Yeah.
NPR is not publishing his name because whether he's been charged in connection with this incident is unclear. Seems pretty cut and dry.
He was there.
Got hit with a charge.
He's got a bunch of frying pan lumps on his head.
Yeah. Online court records cited by CNN and Cake News, K-A-K-E.
I don't know that news. Do you?
No. Says these records show that this man, this unnamed under the bed
27 year old, we know his age,
posted bond about 10 days earlier after being charged with a criminal threat, domestic battery, and violating a protection from abuse order related to incidents in January and February.
Related to this house or just in general?
I don't know.
He used to live there, so he might still have like his secret tunnel he built when he lived there to get back in.
Are we looking at a case of this is the kid's dad or something?
Oh, shoot. I mean, he wants to be in the kid's life.
It's positive. That's a
that's
good.
All that's I got in terms good, of positivity.
That's a,
here.
You know, in a normal person, that would be portrayed as a positive thing.
Yeah.
As the bed man, that's a negative.
It's a negative.
I don't. But yeah, it's a little unclear. Like this is the vaguest crime I've ever read about.
That's what
great.
You're
gonna, great hook.
Great hook.
Guy under the bed, and then everything else is just like we don't know who any of these people are. We don't know why they were there.
This is what you get from cake.com.
Yeah.
NPR knew a good headline when they saw it, and they're like, we'll work with you on this, Cake. We'll write the headline, you write the article.
But we do know that he was charged previously, even though we don't know if he was charged anything for this. It seems like breaking and entering would be a thing you'd be charged with, even if he used to live there.
Or, so I've dealt with people who try to get restraining orders from significant others, and it's very difficult. Not only is the restraining order aspect difficult, but if you are, let's say, spouses and you have a shared address, mm-hmm. Now it becomes like extra hard because it's like, well, the cop, he lives here. We like he has a restraining order from you, but we can't stop him from going on the property or whatever because this is his mailing address. And it becomes this whole other wrinkle.
Right.
You know? And so.
I think we might be.
It might be the dad,
at,
as I'm saying. It might have a driver's license that says, I live at 123 Banana Street.
Yeah.
But even though he's not supposed to be around the kid.
Damn, that's not, I mean,
I'm only saying that in the sense that like if he gets arrested, it's everything but the breaking and entering because it's his own house.
Right.
Yeah.
He seems like a bad guy.
Seems like a scumbag.
He was charged with criminal threat, domestic battery, and violating a protection from abuse order related to incidents in January and February, about 10 days before he then slithered on his belly into this house. NPR has reached out to the sheriff's office and Barton County attorney for more information. The statement says the suspect fled the scene before deputies arrived on Monday night, but was spotted in the area and after a short foot pursuit, taken into custody the next morning.
Wait, so he got out from under the bed?
Well, we were saying it sounds like maybe that's what the altercation was, and then he slithered out and they chased him with a forked stick until they could...
I just feel like I wouldn't let him out of the room.
I don't know that maybe that was a choice.
But also, I'm a babysitter making $4 an hour. I'm like, how much am I really going to
Yeah, we don't know the age of this babysitter. We don't know the age of the kid that was shoved or knocked over.
Yeah.
He was arrested. Okay, so he was arrested on charges of aggravated kidnapping, aggravated burglary, aggravated battery, child endangerment, felony obstruction of a law enforcement officer, and violation of a protection from abuse order.
But no breaking and entering, so this is his house.
Yeah. Although it is weird that NPR earlier in this article says that they're not publishing his name because whether he's been charged in connection with this incident is unclear.
I mean, that's NPR. Other networks
they then go on to say he was arrested on charges, on many charges.
Yeah, so it's not unclear.
AI
wrote this article.
I'm not sure what's going on here, but that's a long list of charges. I assume some of aggravated kidnapping probably stems from, I bet he grabbed the kid at some point,
sure,
and then let go, because this definitely is like this reads like a laundry list of we're throwing everything we can at this
but
guy.
Also, again, put yourself in that position.
My kid's bed.
Yeah, let's say you get out. Now what's your recourse? There's no window. Now you got to grab the kid and be like, I'm going to fucking beat this kid to death unless you let me go.
No, I just jump out the window.
No, but I'm saying, I don't know, second floor. But I'm saying that, like, what is your next move? I guess I can see the aggravated kidnapping thing of them being like, well, I'm going to let me out of here, like a hostage situation.
What do you think the aggravated burglary come? I guess he's tried to steal something on the way out.
Yeah, I guess so. Like, if I can't take this kid, I'm taking the stereo.
Yeah,
it's the least you people can do for me.
Yeah, aggravated battery, which is just he was punching his way out the house. Child endangerment, obviously. Felony obstruction of a law enforcement officer, so he fought the police.
Yeah, he said, yeah.
A violation of a protection from abuse order, as discussed.
I mean, this person's a bad person.
This guy is no good. According to the statement, the man is being held in county jail in lieu of a $500,000 bond. It's not clear whether he's retained a lawyer. Again, another unclear detail.
Which seems like an easy one to get, like, without probably just public records.
The article then notes, quote, while fears of someone hiding under the bed are ubiquitous, they don't materialize very often. But this article then led me to two other articles, because NPR details these two other times that something like this has happened, where there has been a person hiding under another person's
NPR bed. Is like, you may have gotten to the end of this article and realized there was nothing to take away from it. So here's a couple other articles that, you know, if you put the three together, you almost have an article. Something happened.
You almost have a thought. It links us then to an article
heavy
from Wednesday, June 21st, 2006, from a website called The Washington Times, which sort of seems like a fake newspaper.
Yeah, with the number of ads that are flying on the screen. I thought it said The Washington Post at first, and that's why I was like, there must be in real shambles if this is the number of ads they got.
The Washington Times says it's America's newspaper.
Okay, well.
Well, I can't argue with that.
And then
it is still publishing. So video, Washington Times Weekly, Tariff
Whiplash. This kind of feels like when we had to make the Doing Business ads for Scared all the time, and I had to like publish it in a like published newspaper.
Yeah.
It's like arcane law you still need to do. And I just went to a website like this called I changed my business times or whatever. And it was like, for $40, they'll run it. That's what this kind of feels like.
Well, the headline here is former hospital valet gets 3 years for stalking female coworker.
Yeah, but what did they change the name of their company to?
That's a good question. A D.C. Superior Court judge yesterday sentenced a former Holy Cross Hospital valet to more than 3 years in prison for stalking a woman who worked at the hospital, copying her keys, and videotaping her while he hid under her bed. Which seems tough to do from under the bed.
I will say this.
I'm not to defend this man.
Oh,
but
no. This is for the audience if they're ever in a situation.
Mm-hmm.
My car is a piece of shit old car or whatever, but a lot of new cars, when you buy them, people immediately just toss it aside. They have like a valet specific key that you're supposed to use, and it only like starts, like, it doesn't, like, it has no like unlock, it has no whatever. I'm talking, my Civic had it like in the early 2000s.
I knew cars came with valet keys. I always just assumed that was like a fancy term they used for a spare key.
No, it's a spare key that's like, think specifically, like, just does the task, but also doesn't have like the remote access or things for like making a copy of this.
The address to your house written on the back of it.
Also, more specifically, it's a key you can hand them that doesn't have your house keys on it to make copies of. It doesn't have all your shit.
Well, that's why I always thought it was basically just a fancy spare key, but
Even if the other shit I said was a complete bullshit,
I mean,
that cars come with them, people should use them is what I'm getting at. Don't just give the guy, hey, here's all my shit.
Also, you're paying for it.
I mean, I
use it.
I do it. I mean, I give them all my shit.
Car ain't cheap.
My car is.
Your car is, but I mean, if you're getting a car.
I jumped my car last night, and then we'll do it again today.
The Batmobile.
The battery's dead mobile.
Judge Herbert B. Dixon Jr. said, quote, planning for this offense was extensive, cunning, and it was devastating to the victim. There is no physical harm, but no doubt the psychological harm is extreme. And yes, I mean, like, a guy who planned to break into your home and go under your bed, as a person who had someone under my floor once,
yeah,
that I didn't even know about, that was weird enough when I found out. And I didn't really, I mean, that wasn't really a crime, but it was very uncomfortable and something that I kind of think about every time I'm in a home.
You hear a noise.
I hear a noise.
But also, this is a person that if she saw them under their bed, they're like, is that Bill? From the fucking parking lot?
The valet who stares at me when I leave the building. The criminal here, whose name, it looks like we only have a last name, Castellanos Feria, 32 of Hyattsville.
It's almost worse. Just give us, if you don't want to reveal their identity, just give us the first name.
Oh,
the
here
age.
It is. Carlo Castellanos Feria. Okay. Carlos Castellanos Feria, 32 of Hyattsville, told the court he didn't intend to harm anyone. Here's a quote.
What was your intention then?
We've luckily moved past in the present day. He says, quote, I was madly in love and it clouded my judgment. And that's the truth. And I beg your forgiveness.
Okay.
That doesn't count, though. If you're madly in love, you still aren't allowed to crawl under someone's bed and videotape them.
No, I'm in agreement with you.
Okay.
But I'm saying, like, he took a shot.
Yeah, he did.
He took a shot. I feel like
that's such a... It's crazy that someone even tried that defense in 2006. Now it's obvious, like, what?
No, exactly. Like, you watch a movie from the 40s and it was like, well, let him go.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? These gams, they didn't, you know what I mean? Like, but now, you can't.
Although, I mean, I guess to be fair also, even though this was 2006, he was prosecuted and he did receive a sentence. He pled guilty in March to stalking and burglarizing the D.C. home of Michelle Friedenberg Onion, 35, former director in the physical.
I mean, there are layers to this case.
Hey,
and their relationship. So, we're on camera. We can touch each other.
He was sentenced to consecutive terms of 8 months in prison on the misdemeanor stalking charge and 30 months for second-degree burglary, followed by 3 years of probation. He will also undergo a sexual offender evaluation.
He's doing. They was sentenced with house arrest under her bed. Like, what is happening? Why would they do that?
Judge Dixon rejected a request by the prosecution for a stiffer sentence based on the nature of the burglary and also rejected a defense call for a lighter sentence based on Castellanos Feria's mental health. Quote, I hope that you will begin to realize the devastating effect of your actions on the victim in this case, the judge told Castellanos Feria after handing down the sentence. Prosecutors said Castellanos Feria became obsessed with Mrs. Friedenberg Onion. God, the names.
They're so wild.
Who was single at the time of the incident. Okay, you don't need to mention that.
Completely unrelated to anything.
He became obsessed with her. The article is going out of its way to say he became obsessed with her when she was single.
It wasn't like he was cheating. He wasn't taking advantage of another man's relationship.
There was no one else in the way.
Yeah. Also, no one to stop me from crawling under the bed.
Well, maybe that's what they're trying to say. Maybe they're trying to say she was even more prone to
or more vulnerable.
More vulnerable.
So is anyone.
I'm trying to defend the Washington Times too hard here.
They don't need it.
This is a poor choice of words at best.
This is not a Pulitzer winning.
The prosecutor said he became obsessed with her when she used the hospital's valet service last year. Makes sense.
That's where he works.
It's not like he became obsessed with her at the grocery store or something. Yeah. After making copies of Mrs. Friedenberg Onion's keys.
Oh my God. Just say, I don't know what to call her, but you can't do the whole name anymore.
Castellanos Feria entered her apartment on V Street Northwest on November 25th. He camouflaged a video camera on her dresser and hid under her bed for two consecutive nights before being discovered by Mark C. Onion.
Okay.
Mrs. Friedenberg Onion's then boyfriend, who is now her husband. So she wasn't single.
Where's the single? She had a then boyfriend.
No wonder people hate the media.
Hold on. Her then boyfriend had the same last name?
No, I think she married him. That he was then her boyfriend.
Oh, and then
she married
since
Mrs. Onion or Mrs. Friedenberg married Mr. Onion.
But they weren't living together because it doesn't change the fact that she wasn't single.
No.
Which is so insane. Unless, also, people like onions also pretty regularly come in like a bunch of, you buy like a sack of onions.
Uh-huh.
It's hard to find a single onion. I'm saying you can, but you'll pay more for it.
Yeah, yeah, you will.
You might as well just buy like a sack of onions. But that said,
that also,
where was he those couple nights? Since they didn't live together.
It also could be that they hooked up for the first time the night that Mark Onion discovered.
Do you think?
And they're just saying it was her then boyfriend. It was really, they just got drunk and hooked up.
And the guy was under there. Because he was there for two nights.
Because I'd marry that guy.
Because he had the restraint?
No.
To do nothing the first two
nights? If Mark Onion discovered the man under my bed and rescued me from him, I'd be like, oh shit, we should make this a thing.
I mean, I would.
Unless
until you find out that they're Facebook friends.
I know,
you know what I mean?
He set it up.
It was all like a thing, he gave him the keys, but... I don't know. I guess they didn't live together. This sucks. It sucks. I'm pretty shocked by the two nights thing. It's pretty shocking to me.
Yeah.
The fact that it was multiple.
Well, how many nights do you go, though? I mean, I never look under my bed.
My bed's filled with shit. Like, people would, I would, if I went in my room and saw all the stuff that's normally under my bed.
Yeah.
Splayed out. Like, yeah. I'd be like, well, I think someone needed to get under there. But I use under my bed for storage, so.
Right. Well, Mr. Castellanos Feria, although the he in this next sentence, I think if you were to diagram the sentence, would refer to Mark C. Onion. So let's read it that way. He was discovered by Mark Onion, Miss Friedenberg's then boyfriend, who is now her husband. He had a bag containing notebooks, a video camera, two tapes, a power cord, latex gloves, and unused condoms when he was arrested.
That's got to be the bad guy, right?
It is, but the way it's written, it sounds like Mark was discovered with, this was his date pack.
Yeah.
I
answered a Craigslist ad.
I'm glad they specified unused condoms.
Well, now I'm upset that they were like, we didn't know his intentions.
Well,
it was like, it seems pretty obvious.
The next quote here is from Assistant U.S. Attorney Carrie S. Barta, who says, that's an example of the kind of careful planning that went into this crime. He had a very specific plan in mind for that weekend.
Yeah, and then we could have had him on for our snuff films episode.
Yeah, we could have. He would have been out already, it sounds like.
He might be out now. I don't remember what
he is for this, but if his weekend had gone as planned, he probably still would be out by now.
Yeah, I don't know how the world works.
Mrs. Friedenberg Onion said the incident has been life-changing. I'm still looking behind shower curtains, and I get really nervous when I hear noises that aren't familiar to me.
Oh, it would ruin my life.
Me too.
This would ruin my life.
I don't want this to ever happen to anyone else. It's a horrible experience. I mean,
I'd be sleeping on the bed like the Japanese people do. I'm sleeping on the floor, I mean, like Japanese people
yeah.
do.
Yeah.
Like, you can't hide under that mat.
No. But then again, all the Japanese ghosts I see, they're always creeping out of some corner they can't be in.
Yeah. Also, I think the frogging one was like a Japanese
lady, yeah.
Right? Or the actual big frogging thing.
Yeah.
Well, I guess they'll find a way.
This is sort of connected to our frogging episode, PHROGGING,
yeah.
If you haven't. Well, I guess technically we have not done a frogging episode. We did Neighbors from Hell.
That included frogging. Well, I think we're doing a frogging episode right now.
Mrs. Onion said that she didn't want this to ever happen to anyone else. It's a horrible experience, but it did happen to somebody else, not with this exact guy. But in 2016, we have another article, our third article of the trilogy here. Headline, Stalker Hiding Under Bed Shot by Ex-Girlfriend
Hell
as
yeah.
She Installed New Security System.
As she?
As she.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So.
I mean, these people should be shot.
Agreed.
Especially since most of these things we're reading are like Kansas, whatever. I was like, yeah, you have...
Goodlettsville, Tennessee.
Stand your ground laws, I'm sure.
A woman having a security system installed to protect against a man who threatened her life and was stalking her actually found the man hiding under her bed as the security system was being installed.
Oh, wow.
So she was the one with the camera in this instance.
Yeah, but if the cameras are like outward facing or something outside the house,
yeah,
you know what I mean? It wouldn't have caught it anyway.
Right. So who knows how long he'd been in there.
I'd like to believe she knew he was in there. Popped up that Google Nest
mm-hmm.
as part of her defense case.
Oh,
to be like, oh, look, as you can see,
Whoa!
I didn't shoot him in the car and drag into my bedroom.
Right.
But I knew I was going to shoot this motherfucker.
Yeah.
But I had to do it in a way that's...
Metro police affidavits now paint a clearer picture of the events leading up to the self-defense shooting. According to the report, 52-year-old Tony Joe Gunter and the woman had dated for 2 years when earlier this month she found out about his extensive criminal history.
Okay.
The woman broke up with Gunter and instructed him not to return when he allegedly stated, I will kill you, you stupid C-word.
Oh.
So that's a, I mean,
it paints a picture.
It does paint a picture of a very dangerous man.
Yeah.
Since that day, the woman says she changed her locks twice and had three different occasions where she came home and found signs Gunther had broken in.
Don't love it.
And was there. Unclear.
Well, the signs were that he broke in, and then the being there would imply that he did break in.
Yeah.
So.
She also filed an order of protection against Gunther. The woman,
as we've learning from three of these now, means nothing.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's just a piece of paper, I think you should do it so that there are other laws, knock-on effects, that like now they can't buy a gun. Now there are some restrictions in their life
right.
once that piece of paper is finished,
right.
but it doesn't save your life.
Right. The woman called ADT Security to have a system installed on Tuesday.
Well, you know BTK, the killer?
Yeah, he worked for ADT.
He worked for the security company, yeah.
And she says she was on her cell phone and computer as the ADT rep was installing the system. She says after the installer completed the job, she went to her room to check the connection to her cell phone, but her phone was missing. That's when she noticed Gunter's feet under her bed.
Oh my God, he go all the way under.
Go, I mean, he probably had before gone all the way under, and in this case, he left those feet hanging out the back.
Anytime I see feet, I assume it's a trap. It's like where like you put shoes behind the blinds or drapes. Yeah. So it's like then you whip it open, they're not there, they're behind you, and they stab you the phone they took.
The woman told the ADT installer to call 911 and pulled a gun, shooting Gunther in the left foot as he was under the bed. She says she instructed Gunther to give back the phone, and he threw it out from under the bed,
all like crippled.
She held Gunther at gunpoint,
yeah.
until police arrived. So this woman did what we felt the first woman should have done.
Correct.
Yeah.
But also,
this was an ad.
I love the like needing to have the security guy call 911 because A, you don't have a phone. Well, no, she was on her cell phone. She was on her cell phone.
Yeah.
Talking to the security guy. So he took her house phone?
I don't know.
Because she's like, give me the phone. But she was just on the phone with the ADT guy.
Well, maybe.
Also on the computer.
Yeah, it says that she was on the cell phone and computer. After the installer completed the job, she went to her room to check the connection to her cell phone, but her phone was missing. So I guess.
So she must have like put it down, did some computer stuff.
Yeah.
And then they're like, hey, go check on.
On your phone. And she went, where is it? And why is there a man under my bed?
And she's like, call 911 or have the alarm system. I don't know what stage of completeness the alarm system is. Either hit the button or call old school. And it was like, are you in danger? And it was like, no, another person's in danger.
Yeah. Damn. Gunther admitted to the police that he had entered the home and hid under the bed, taking the phone to keep the woman from calling the police. Well, that didn't help.
No, it didn't work.
Didn't do anything.
She was already in like a ADT chat box or whatever, like on the line.
The 52-year-old is facing charges of aggravated burglary, stalking, violating a protection order.
Oh, again, yep.
And theft. So three stories over the course of multiple decades of people, monsters, hiding under beds. And we know the way to deal with them is with a gun.
I think that's how you deal with most things. I don't think that's a solution to school shootings by putting more guns in them, but I do think it's a solution a bunch of times.
You should put more guns in your bedroom, fewer guns in schools.
Everybody should be safe about it, but everybody should have a couple pieces in there. In their bedroom, but don't leave it on a step ladder.
Well, yeah, because then otherwise Gunther would take the gun.
He would take the gun.
Yeah. So like, this lady sounds like she had the heat on her.
Well, yeah, she definitely did. I think this is a person who's installing security because they've dealt with a person under their bed numerous times.
Yeah.
And I think part of that is like, hey, I'm going to call ADT and I'm going to go to the gun store and I just don't feel safe.
Yeah.
And I want to protect myself.
Yeah.
And so she's a smart person to be like, also, this is a person that she found out had so many crimes he's committed that the relationship couldn't stand.
Right.
Like, there can't be this many crimes and still be with you. So she knew, like, I might need a gun for someone like this.
Yeah. I wish this article had gone a little further in depth on his laundry list of previous crimes.
Yeah.
Because it seems, I mean,
If you're like, oh, I used to cheat on my taxes.
Right.
You're not breaking up.
No, but I mean, besides even the breaking up, the getting a gun and then not only just, it's one thing to have the gun and see him in your house and be like, I have a gun, get out from under the bed.
I'm going to hold you at gunpoint.
Yeah,
but she like shot him.
Yeah, first, suggests that she knew he had done some really bad shit.
Also, he got arrested, right? Like he didn't die.
Right.
So she either shot him in his foot or some insane place or shot into under the bed.
Yeah, I think she did shoot him in the foot.
Yeah, because the thing about firing guns is it's never as easy as you think. And even when you're like 4 feet away, you can miss. Why you see it all the time.
Yeah.
This is a person who's used the gun a few times.
She shot him in the left foot as he was under the bed.
That's a shit recovery, too. You have to like walk. Yeah. Bones are all fucked. But yeah, I do love a foot shot. Like, just like, hey, it's not even a warning shot, which you could have done a warning shot.
Yeah.
And was like, no, I'm going to cripple you first. Love it.
Yeah.
Love to see it.
Yeah.
I hate to see it on innocent people.
Yeah.
Love to see it on a scumbag.
On a scumbag. Yeah. Now they're going to call this guy, he's going to have a good criminal nickname for his limp.
Yeah, what are they going to call it?
I don't know.
I thought you were going to do something with his name. What's his name? Gunther?
Gunter.
Gunter? What happened to your foot?
Tony Joe Gunter.
What happened to your foot? A goon from her. That's what happened. A gun from her. And then also, what do we call it? Sack of shit? Is that what? Like a? We just said something with sack a second ago, I feel like. I was trying to bring more onion material in. So
you really, I mean, there's the layers was the best, the onion material.
No, it's diminishing returns, mm-hmm. but it's a rich area.
Sort of like putting too many onions into your food.
There you go.
a little bit.
It's a rich area, dude. We can do another two episodes with onion material.
Well, until we get to those episodes, this is the continued adventures of Miss Onion.
Oh, man. I mean, am I crazy? It's better now than it used to be. It used to be they just fully put your address mm-hmm. in the newspaper. Mm-hmm. Like if you committed a crime or anything, even if you won an award, it was like Miss Onion of 123 Banana Street.
Won $10,000.
Yeah, and here's where she is. Yeah. We did that in the lottery episode, right? They did actually put the like lottery winners.
Well, there are some states, if you go listen to our lottery episode, if you haven't, I didn't know this until we did that episode, but there are some states that require legally the address to be printed. It had something to do with so that you could, it was harder to game the system. It was harder to cheat at the lottery.
Okay.
I don't remember the exact justification for it because I do remember us being like, that seems like a really bad idea to have to announce who won and how much and where they live. Seems like you're that just trying
you're
to cause
trouble.
Yeah, problems.
I was finished my thought I had, but before I did, I was listening to my lawyer's podcast that we can't talk about until everything's done.
Okay.
But they were doing a lottery thing and it was the lottery turns out have like their own investigative unit. Yeah. Like no different than like IRS insurance, like people who like do forensic accounting. They have like if it's over a certain amount of money, they really dig deep into your life. They don't just like cut you a check for $3 million.
Oh wow.
They go in and be like, who do you know? Do you know anyone in the store? What's your background? Like,
oh, to make sure that you didn't cheat.
Yeah, it's like a investigative team, like a almost law enforcement situation, right. Which I thought was like wild. I had no idea that that was an occupation.
No, that's crazy.
But yeah, I guess the end of what I was going to say about it is, it does still feel weird though that we're getting like their whole names in any of these newspapers.
Yeah,
but like whether we're talking about weird hobbies or someone's been under my bed, I would just be like Miss Onion of Houston.
Mm-hmm.
Why do we need it? Just I'd be embarrassed. I mean, what? You're not like we're learning any. It's not like we're helping other people.
Yeah,
like I'd be like, leave my name out of this.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know where. I guess it's just a certain kind of like I don't know where the line is drawn in journalism. I know generally if it's publicly available information.
Yeah, there'd be court orders. There'd be
you're allowed to print it because yeah. It's publicly available, so it's considered in the public interest.
Because I just feel like this is stuff that you already have the PTSD following you around. Like I'm not gonna go into the shower.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm afraid. I look under every bed. Yeah. Now you have it in the newspaper, so it's like that follows you around. Like your reputation.
Yeah.
Gets to you before.
Yeah, I mean it does kind of seem like it sucks, but.
But if you shoot the guy, it's cool.
It is. People toss candy your way in the street.
Because you feel
like a hero.
If you see your name in the newspaper and people read it and they're like, why didn't they just shoot him?
Yeah.
Now that you have that hanging over you.
Right.
With this lady, they read it and they're like, hell yeah. Shoot that piece
Ms.
of shit.
Onion at the OK Corral.
Yeah, dude.
Took out the six shooter.
Well, I don't know if it was Onion that did it. I think it was the last
lady. Oh, yeah,
lady.
Yeah. No, it was not.
It was Annie Oakley.
Yeah. It was.
All right. Well, we've talked too much.
No, there's no such thing. The people love to hear us talk.
Did they like these little things?
I don't know.
They worked.
They do work. Let us know if you like them.
I think, like, I feel like I'm in an episode of Alien Earth over here with these things fucking hanging on me.
It feels like a cold, what do they call them? An ascot?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. An ice cot.
An ice cot. brother.
Patent pending.
$1 million idea up there with stand up at a haunted house from our.
Oh yeah, from that review. I wonder if another one. I Scott. I guess it's also a neck brace, so I have nothing
neck
for
neck brace.
Neck brace. This is what I'm saying, guys. Diminishing returns. That's
we
why
need
we edit
cup
the
of coffee.
That's we need. We need some Michelobes.
Well, until next time, this has been New Fear Unlocked. I'm Chris Kalari.
And I'm Ed Ficola.
And we'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Waiting to all the cameras.
The theme song may say this show has no name. But as you know, it actually has a name. New Fear Unlocked.
The thing you guys always say, that's the name. Turn it off. There's nothing more after this. Thanks for coming.